Welcome, everybody, to the Ricardo's Rules of Resilience podcast. I'm your co-host, Coach Alton, and I'm joined by...
Coach Ricardo.
All right, today we're covering the third rule of Ricardo's Rules of Resilience. This is truly going to be important to have that mindset to achieve great things, not only in fitness, but in all walks of life. So you're really going to want to pay attention to this because we've got some great stuff for you today. So tell us, Coach, as the founder of these rules, tell us a little bit about rule number three.
You use it all the time. You can only use can't if it's followed by yet. I'll just review the Ricardo's rules. It's just a list of things that I found myself saying over the years as I was coaching clients and helping them recover from hard things, withstand hard things, or recover from hard things, which was resilience, right? The capacity to withstand or recover from difficulties. And I just found myself saying different things. And I kind of put them all together in a list just to have a mental handle to put them on. And this one is so key, as you said. And we've got your story coming up. We've got other theories coming up. But if you haven't listened to Coach Vicky's podcast, the first podcast we ever did with a member of our staff on it, our head coach, really appropriate, with since opening day. That first story, it's what is all about this rule, really, of you can only say can't if it's followed by yet, and how she overcame so many good things in this episode for you. They're going to help you with fitness and help you with life, really, anything you want to achieve. So I'm really excited to talk about this rule today. You can only use can't if it's followed by yet.
So can't is a word that I really hear a lot as a coach. A lot of people kind of put themselves in a box with the words that they're saying, and your mind is a very powerful tool. So tell us, Coach, what a little bit about that reality of putting themselves in a box with that.
Well, it's an unbelievably powerful tool that, if you're driving right now, don't do this, but let's see where you're going. But anybody else, if you're doing the fitness or whatever, and you have a second, you can just look up, Google search a brain map, and see how much of your brain is dedicated to different sensations. There's little brain maps that will show, oh, this much your brain is for speech and whatnot, auditory, visual. And look at how much real estate goes to the auditory and the speech centers of your mind. And, of course, everything that we say, we also hear. And so anytime that we say something, we also hear. And so a huge part of our mind is taken up with anything we say. So we are reinforcing messages to ourselves very acutely and very powerfully, anything that we speak. My son Arrow went to a wrestling camp, and this is a wrestling camp that it's a champ camp. It's called, it's produced unbelievable amounts of great wrestlers. People come from all over the country there. While his team was there from Indiana, there was another team that came up from Ohio, from Arizona to Ohio. And one of the lessons they just told there was a researcher had brought in someone and said, okay, here's what we're going to do. I want you to put your arm through this hole in this wall, and I'm going to burn you. And the person being experimented on put his hand through the hole in the wall, could not see what was going on. And the researcher said, okay, I'm starting to burn you now. I'm starting to burn you. I'm putting flame on you. I'm starting to burn you. And he was not actually burning him. He was putting ice on him. He would rub the area of his arm with ice, telling him that he was burning him. And the person being experimented on came back the next day and actually had burn on his body. His mind had been so convinced that he was being burned that he produced the physical effects of a burn on his body. Our minds are incredibly, incredibly powerful. We just need to accept and understand that reality. How we look at things, it's just amazing in the outcome. And if you don't believe me, I'll do this. This is great for parents, but anybody, whether you're a parent or not, can relate to this. I bet there's been a time, if you're a parent especially, and Alton, I know you've seen this in live and in person, but, as a parent, I'll have kids, especially when they were young, dad, dad, that, and I'm trying to do something, and they're that. What? Right? Where is my emotion in that anger, right? Irritation? What are you, like, I'm trying to do something, right? And then the kid says, I just wanted a hug. It's a real example. Where was my emotion there?
And, well, but in that situation, you'd probably feel bad. Pretty crappy.
Yeah. Yeah. My emotion is totally changed, right? Your thinking determines your reality. And we are people of faith, and we know that the master told us, right? The eye is the lamp of the body. If the eye is good, the whole body will be full of light. But if the eye is bad, the whole body will be full of darkness. And how deep will that darkness be? So how we look at things determines whether or not we're seeing light or seeing darkness. And how we look at it, not only if we see light or darkness, but whether that light or darkness is what's filling us inside. And so how we're thinking is really going to determine who we are, right? And how we're experiencing life. And so whenever I'm speaking words, I'm also hearing those words, and my mind is absorbing that message. And so back to your original question. So I took a long way, but I want people to really grasp what's going on here. When I tell myself I can't do that, as you said, to use a good word there, ceiling. We're putting a ceiling on how far I can go. I can't do that. And so we are saying that's as far as I can go. No more.
Yeah. It reminds me of a quote, and I'll probably mess this up, but where they said your thoughts become your words, and then your words become your actions. So that really shows.
Your actions become your habits.
Actions become your habits, and then your habits become
your character. That's right. Yeah.
And that, I mean, and you don't really think about it, but on a daily basis, you're having millions of different thoughts, and the direction that those thoughts can take you really determine your trajectory and where you'll end up. So if you're like Todd Durkin says, thinking, saying, I can't do this, I can't do that, just thinking about all the things you can't. Like, there's a lot of things I can't do. There's a lot of things Coach Ricardo can't do. There's millions of things. But if you focus on the things you can't do, it's not going to grow. The things we put our focus on are what's going to grow. So if I'm focusing on what I can't do,
that's it. It's going to grow.
It's going to grow.
It's not but over. It's really shrinking, right?
Yeah.
The list is growing, but my life is shrinking. Yeah.
But whereas if I focus on what I can do, and being grateful for what I can do, like today, I'm not in a hospital bed, right? I'm able to walk, because for a lot of people, that's not real. Like, the reality, or like I have food in my pantries, like unlimited amounts of food, or I just turn on the sink and I have drinkable water. Like, there's, well, so many places around the world that don't have these luxuries.
And we've seen those. No, some of them, anyway.
Yeah, so being in that mindset of gratitude, like Zig Ziglar says, your gratitude determines your altitude. So that's very powerful.
Actually, Zig Ziglar said your attitude determines your altitude. It was Travis Barnes who added, and your attitude determines your altitude. Travis Barnes added, your gratitude determines your attitude. Big shout out to you, Trav.
Yeah. So what normally do you see in the gym when you're working with members with this kind of, with people saying that they can't do things, how do you kind of help them out with that?
Well, we've got a little special bonus on this that we're going to cover in a little while for the Decamaniacs. So Decamaniacs, hang on. We've got one where we see this all the time, and but we're saving that for a little bit later. But we will, before we get to some of those things, before we see it, let's talk about the power of hope, right? So when we talk about can't, I start building my own prison. Right. I start determining my own limits and saying, this is where I stop. And sure enough, if I set that expectation that I can go any no further, then that is where I stop, because our minds are powerful and I'm not letting my body even get to where it can go, because my mind has turned on that governor, has set that limit, and now I'm trapped inside that cage. Right.
Yeah.
So the key to get out of that cage is to turn on the key to turn on this is to add one word, and that is yet, right? Yet is hope, right? So I can't get down on the floor yet, right? I can't do this exercise yet. By putting that one word yet at the end, we are introducing hope. Hope just means that when I look into the future, I see a different future than my present reality. Hope is a little bit crazy, right? Because we can't hope in the past and we can't hope in the present. Hope means that something's going to be different only in the future, that I look into the future and see things different. It's a very uniquely human thing to have, is that things will change. Reality could be different in the future than it is right now. And having hope allows me to pass through this moment, pass through this little bit of time that I'm in right now called the present, knowing that even though it's difficult, the future can be better. And hope can get us through a whole lot of difficult situations. That capacity to believe that the future will be different. And that one word, yet, starts to put hope in our mind. So if we have a client and they tell me, "Oh, coach, I can't get on the floor," and I'll tell them, "You can only tell me can't if you say yet, because now they've got hope that one day that future's going to change." So we start changing from what I can't do, and it's okay to acknowledge reality. I don't want people thinking we're just trying to hype them up or go into crazy thinking, you know. But if we can't do if we're not going to use our capacity to hope, then we're going to stay trapped, right? So we're going to start adding that word yet to look into a different reality. And boy, do we see things change then, don't we?
Yeah, we definitely do. And you reminded me a little bit about this. My wrestling coach talks about this a lot, where we have governors in our mind. And a governor, what that does in a car is it stops it from going past a certain speed. And we do that with our minds, with the can't, like, we're setting us up, putting self-imposed limitations on ourselves. And what he encourages us to do is just constantly removing that governor, constantly pushing you past your limits. And that's a little bit more extreme with wrestling, with college wrestling, but that's something that we can apply in our lives. And no matter what it is, maybe it's not in the fitness area, but in, like, in your business, in your life, and
about students.
Yeah.
I just can't do math.
Yeah.
Yet. Right. I just can't understand this subject yet. Right. Knowing that the future can change, I'm not stuck here forever.
And that kind of puts you in a state of development and constantly looking for improvement, right? Rather than just staying plateaued, you're constantly looking at the future and you're excited for a better future. And working on those ways to improve and get better.
Yeah, and if I, instead of kind of sulking or sitting and just not getting anywhere, just staying stuck where I'm at with, I can't do that, I can't do that, I can't do that yet, my mindset is going to change. I'm going to start looking for what will it take to get me there. For example, I can't get down on the floor yet, or I can't get over that box yet, or I can't get my knee to the ground on a reverse lunge yet, then people start thinking about, what do I need to do to get there, right? And taking those little incremental steps that are over weeks, months, and years going to add up over time. It's that power of 1%, right? Compounded interest. You know, you take $100 and then you get 5% interest, that's not very much, but then the total on that goes up by 5%, and you have a new total, and that compounded interest is how you make great gains over time. Well, if we're getting 1% better every week, that compounded interest over time, that total gain is going to be enormous. But it only happens if I'm looking for, what would it take for me to get down on the floor? What would it take for me to get over that box? I can't do it yet, but I want to. One day I want my knee to touch the floor. And we have members right now who are, you know, trying to do, you know, they're wanting to get to the DECA World Championship, some of them in their 60s and 70s, and saying, what am I going to do? I got to get my knee to touch that floor so I can get there and I can get those reverse lunges. But it's that power of, they can't do it now, but they're thinking, how could, and I can't do it yet, right? And what can I do to make those changes to get there? And that's really powerful mindset to have. And it's the mindset you've got to have in anything, a really difficult class you're taking, or my business isn't succeeding. I can't get the customers I need yet. I can't get those sales yet. I can't speak in front of people yet, right? Whatever it is that's daunting you, just telling yourself it can change and I can get there. And that power of hope that hoping in a future reality is going to be different than this reality. You've seen it in your life and in your wrestling career, among other places.
Yeah, I've seen that a lot in my wrestling career, and I've had to work a lot on the mental side of things, but that's not the only place that we see it. You have a story about this more recently. Tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, my goodness. I think you're referring to Amber Simpson. Am I right?
Yes.
Oh, Amber, I hope you're listening to this. She gave us permission to use this story. Amber was in a challenge. We did coaches team competition, and that's something we do from time to time. We do that usually about twice a year here. Each coach will gather anywhere from 5 to even 12 people on their team, and we take each other on and of course, doing healthy habits like working out. But we also get bonus points for doing really hard things because we know it's important for us to have hard things on our calendar. And so we reward that with points. And there's a Spartan race down in Cincinnati. And that's no ordinary Spartan race, Susan. What'd you think of that thing?
I can't remember the exact number, but I believe it's around 3,000 feet of elevation. There's one hill where it's straight like this, no joke, for what felt like a mile.
Yeah, it's a ski slope in the wintertime. Yeah. We're on a ski resort, and incredibly tough race. And Amber's team wanted to get the points. They wanted to win this team competition that we were doing here. And they talked her into going, and they got a double points if it was your first Spartan race.
She didn't even, when they first were talking to her, she just thought it was a normal 5K. She's like, oh, I can just walk a 5K.
A 5K.
A little bit extra.
I got a trip to it. It wasn't until very short, I think the week of, but this is the week of,
before, yeah.
Very shortly before, she said, oh, there's, 20 obstacles in addition to the 5K. On a ski resort.
They're not, they say that they're Spartans, so they're not very good at math. So it's probably a little more closer to 4 miles, more like
up and down 3,000 feet of elevation change. And we started out that race, and Amber said, I know I can do it. I thought it was a 5K. I didn't know about the obstacle, but I know I can walk a 5K. And so we went through that, and she just kept going and refused to give up, just refused to give up. And she'd only been back. I forgot to highlight this part. She'd only been back with us 4 weeks at that point. 4 weeks of working out and very early in her fitness journey. And, I mean, she just kept putting one foot in front of the other, up that mountain, back down, back up again. And kept going all the way. And, she made it all the way to the end. Not able to accomplish every obstacle. That's okay. What she did accomplish was amazing. I was so proud of her. And finishing that race, it took us about 3.5 hours in the heat, get beat down, crawling through the mud. But she did it. Instead of telling herself, I can't do that. I've only been working out 4 weeks. I can't do that. I can't. Instead, she just kept putting one foot in front of the other and said, I refuse to lose. I'm going to keep going with this thing.
Yeah, that's a powerful story about just how powerful your mind can be. And she burned what? It was like 888
MEPs. It's
outrageous. We use a heart rate monitor that's called the MyZone. And so it tracks for 1 month, you have 1,300. The whole month. So she got over half of that in one day. So pretty incredible.
Yeah, well, 2/3 or 3/4 of it in one afternoon.
Yeah.
She just refused to back down.
So Spartan isn't the only place we see this. I see this a lot with members in the DECA that we did, DECA events that we host. As you alluded to earlier, people, one of the stations is you have to do lunges, and a lot of people that doesn't work for their knees as they get older, and because you have to hit your knee all the way down to the ground. But people Or there's another station where you have to go up and over a box, and people struggle with that.
Very common station for people to really struggle with early on.
But what I have seen people do is initially, as they do DECA for their first or a couple times, is they do the modifications. They focus on the stations that they can do. And what I've seen over time is that eventually they're able to do those things and able to do things that they never thought they could do, but they just stayed focused on what they could do. And like I talked about earlier, focusing on the things you can do, that's going to grow rather than focusing on what you can't do, and the things that you can't do grow, focusing that energy on the right things.
Yeah, you're taking us right into the next part. It's a beautiful segue. And I can tell that you've been influenced by Dr. Wyatt, or as you call him, Papa. Yeah, he is. He taught me this. He's told me this my whole life, so long that I actually thought he invented this. I did not know that my father did not invent this quote until I was full grown adult, I think well into my 20s. And he would say this to me all the time. And if you know my father, if you know Dr. Wyatt Muldenhax, you know when he has some very great sayings, and he also repeats them often so that you can't forget them. That's part of I think why people are always telling me how wise he is, because they just can't forget the things he says, because he'll just keep saying them until you could be woken up at 2 in the morning with a gun to your head and you would be able to say them, right? And for him, it was this one of the ones that he always drilled into me, is whether you think you can or you can't, you're usually right. I like I said, didn't find out in my 20s, that was actually Henry Ford that said that, but whether you think you can or you can't, you're usually right. And we saw that with Amber as she was going up and down that mountain. She said, I can do this. I can do this. I just have to keep walking. I just keep putting one foot in front of the other, and I can do this, right? And she was right. And if we tell ourselves, I can't do this, we're right. Yeah, we prove it to ourselves whether we think we can and we can't. And someone will come into DECA and say, man, I'm not sure I could do this, but I think I can. What do you know? They prove themselves right. Or they'll tell me, I can't do that. What do you know? They prove themselves right. Whether you think you can or you can't, that thought pattern, you're setting that cage. You're making yourself a cage with that word can't. And with your thinking, that's thinking that says, I can't do it. And so you live down to that. That's another thing Dr. Wyatt loves to say, is that if you tell a child will live up to or down to what you tell them. So if you tell them they're a bum, they'll live down to being a bum. If you tell them they're brilliant, they're going to live up to that as well. And it's the same thing for our very own selves. When we think about the dumbest thing you ever did, you don't think, again, he loves to say, you don't think self-talk's important. Who talked you into the dumbest thing you ever done? Right? It was you. It was you. And we can talk ourselves into the best things we've ever done by telling ourselves, we can do this. I can accomplish this. I can and I will. I'm able to do this. I've got what it takes. And instead of talking ourselves out of it, letting fear win and the doubts win, that voice of shame win, I can do this. It becomes very important to people who are going to withstand or recover from difficult.
And that the cage you kind of talked about, it's going to be a pretty comfortable cage. We can really build in, get that nice, like a water Tempur-Pedic bed where you can change the temperature or get a little heated blanket and get all those nice things like lavish sheets and a nice warm blanket, because that's we it's comfortable to not say I can't do something. That's a lot easier than challenging yourself to try and do stuff that you can't do. That's why it's so powerful to do stuff such as DECA and Spartans, because doing hard things like that is very powerful for your confidence and just for your mental power, mental strength overall. So that's why it's important to be getting comfortable being uncomfortable, right? Challenging yourself to make those improvements, because if we're not working on improvement and we're just saying I can't do things, we're going to plateau and actually start to go down in that progress.
Yeah, you're reminding me of I once listened to a neurologist speak, and he said that, our what we pay attention to, we remember. And what we remember, right? And if we remember it often enough, eventually the only future we can ever imagine is the past we've already lived, right? So when I'm living back in the past of I failed that before, I didn't get it last time, I was embarrassed with that last time, and we're living in that. The only future we can imagine is that past we've already lived. And so that we start telling ourselves, I can't. And so we stay comfortable. And comfortable, that's a great word. That's a perfect word for it, because imagine this neurologist, I learned this from him, from listening to him. Imagine, you go to a hill of snow, and you're going to go sledding. But this hill has not been sledded on before, right? It's all fresh powder. And you take that sled and you go down and whoo, down the hill. And then you take your sled and go right back up. Well, there's that nice track that's been plowed, right? Well, when you put that sled in that track, where's it going to go?
Just gonna stay.
It's going to go right down that same track, and it's going to go faster next time. And then you and faster. And pretty soon, that's the only track you can go on. You can't break out of it at all. Right, you can't go a different direction because it's so well worn in our minds. They all the way down to the neurons in our minds are in our brains are wrapped in myelin, and the more that you activate that process, the more that you activate that thought pattern, the more myelin is wrapped around the neurons, and so it becomes a more efficient pattern. And sooner or later, you don't, you're just automatically going that, just like the sled going down the hill. It's why when we first start driving, we're so nervous, and we turn the radio off, and we can't have anybody talking to us, but we drive long enough, and you see somebody doing their makeup and talking on their phone and smoking a cigarette and still driving down the road, right? They've just gone down that path, and everything's so automatic that there's no there's you don't even have to think anymore, right? You're just like that sled going down that same path over and over. And when we go down that path of I can't, and I'm living in my past failure, and I can't, and we just stay in that sled, and the only future we can imagine is the path we've already lived. So we have to change it and get out of that I can't thinking and start saying, I can't do it yet. And now all of a sudden that sled's breaking off into a slightly different path. We're going down a different path and are thinking of there's hope. The future could be different. Can't do it yet, but I could. And that brings us back to our little discussion on what some people like to call the murder bike. Well, you've heard it referred to as Satan's chariot.
I haven't heard that one.
Yeah. Oh man, people love the bike, don't they?
Oh, yeah, they do.
Oh, when you're doing Deca, so Decamaniacs, we promised you a little something. So Decamaniacs, many of you have come out and done a Deca, and how many times have we heard, I died on the bike?
Oh, too many times to count. That's probably the most common thing said at our Deca event.
Or any Deca, I
Yeah.
died on the bike. And then what's the reaction to that? What do people then? I hate the bike.
Yeah, then they just build up that negative stigma and constant whenever they just dread the bike, which only exacerbates the issue. Because if you're wasting energy in your mind thinking about how much you don't like the bike, which already that's just draining the precious energy that you're going to need to pour it on in a DECA event.
Yeah. And so our approach here for you Decamaniacs is, and we do this with our one-on-one DECA training, or, when we're writing programs, we have several people that have us write individual programs to help them. And we've seen incredible results with people doing that. And one of the big things we focus on is we own the bike. We own the bike, baby. We don't let anybody else, any other program say that they're better at the bike than we are. People that are as good, but we own the bike.
My
And
favorite thing to tell people when I'm coaching them through DECA is break the bike. Don't let the bike break you.
that's right. That's right. And then we're bringing this up because it's a perfect example of how changing your thinking is going to change your reality. Instead of I can't do the bike, I hate the bike, I die on the bike every time, we're going to own the bike, right? And so we start building into that. We attack it with different methods because we go for that weak point and we say, we're going to attack that. I can't do it yet, but I'm going to be able to. And my favorite turnaround story on this is Ruth Ann Shively. Ruth Ann was doing really well in her age group. I think she won a DECA Fit Knoxville maybe in her age group last year.
Yeah.
But on the national level, she was, you know, floating somewhere around, you know, seventh or lower on the, you know, which is still tremendous. I mean, tremendous to be seventh in your age group in the world out of hundreds of participants in your age group. But she looked at, we looked together. She's came to me for this one-on-one training for DECA, and World Championship was coming up in Dallas. And she's, you know, let's look at it. We looked at where she had her best chance and where her strong suit was. We said, we're going to really try to pour it on strong. So she's pretty incredible. Now, her and Alice Herbs, both in the same age group, both longtime members here, you know, and but they qualified outright, not roll down invites, but qualified outright for all three, DECA Fit, DECA Strong, DECA Mile, to go to the World Championship in their age group. And that's remarkable. But Ruth Ann wasn't satisfied. Ruth Ann was not satisfied. And she said, I'm going to go for this, right? And so we start on this one-on-one training. We said, best shot we think we could make the biggest improvement was on that DECA Strong. And so we developed the plan, and it's the same thing. I die on the bike. I hate the bike. And we improved that bike so good. We knew this is going to be a pivotal one. And we went in last year, and actually both her and Alice coming off of Station 6, coming off of those farmer's carries, I think they were second or third from last. You know, they were very near the end of the last few people coming off of Station 6. And they were, and then by the time they came off of that bike, they were in third and fourth, I believe. And they finished the race third and fourth in the world in their age group. It was a beautiful finish. And they were only about 1 second apart. And so Alice made the podium. Ruth Ann missed it, I think, by just 1 second. But she had improved from, I don't know, seventh or eighth all the way up because she took what was her weak suit, the bike. And I hate the bike, and I die on the bike, and I can't do the bike, and turned it into I own the bike, right? And I can't do it yet, and had just tremendous results because she shifted her thinking and made her plan of attack around, here's what I'm going to do. I can't do it now, but I can do it in the future. I can't do it yet, but watch me go and attack that area where you think you're limited, and you find out, back to what we said at the very top, it's just that stinking thinking. I'm just making a route for myself by setting that limit. You don't have to. So that's why we don't say can't, but it's followed by.
Excellent. Yeah. So what are some ways to reach out if maybe I'm someone who is interested in doing that DECA personalized training? What's the best way to get in touch with you for that?
Yeah, I mean, reach out to us here by giving us a call, 260-723-5333. We do write individual DECA training programs. I have a guy all the way in Eastern Ohio that does that. He's not far from the Hall of Fame, the Football Hall of Fame over there. Yeah, he's that far away, but we communicate all the time, and I write his workouts and put them in an app for him and just keep up with him that way. We also have resilience coaching that can be done remotely, so it doesn't matter where you are, because that mindset may be something like we said before that's not physical. You know, it may not be fitness. It may not have anything to do with Spartan or DECA or any working out at all. It might have to do with business or whatever. And that resilience coaching that we do might be what you need. And so we definitely can do that. You can give us a call, 260-723-5333. You can reach out to me on Facebook. I'm Ricardo Mullinax, or on Instagram, coach.ricardo. But I'm not the only one they might want to hear from. How do they get a hold of you?
So the best way to contact me is through social media on at Instagram. I'm Alton Mullinex 17 underscore, or on Facebook at Alton Mullinex. Or just to reiterate, you can reach out to our number at 260-723-5333. And that is a number, so you do gotta call that number, not a
That's a
text.
landline.
Yeah, landline, that's the word I was looking for. But yeah.
Right.
Yeah. All right, you guys, thank you for tuning in to the Ricardo's Rules of Resilience podcast, the podcast where we give you the tools to withstand and recover from difficult times. Go be resilient.